You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Early Night Show live from the Broadway Makers Marketplace in Turnstile Underground in the heart of New York City. I'm Joshua Turchin, and thank you all so much for being here today. To start off our show, we're going to be doing a style swap, and the rules of style swap are very simple. You yell at a musical style, and I have to change the song to be like that. We're going to do it with She Used to Be Mine from Waitress. Here we go. Okay, style.
Say her and I swear.
Wait, wait, wait. We have to say her. Okay. She used to be mine. It's not simple to say that most days I don't recognize me. That these shoes and this apron, the place its patron, have taken more than I gave them. It's not easy to know. Disney? I'm not anything like I used to be, although it's true, I was never attention's sweet center. I still remember that girl. Funny girl. She's imperfect, but she tries. She is good, but she lies. She is hard on herself. Next out. What?
Come from away.
Come from away. She is broken and won't ask for help. She is messy. Wait. She is messy, but she's kind. She is lonely most of the time. She is all of it. What?
Jonathan Larson.
She is all of this mixed up and baked in a beautiful pie. She is gone, but she used to be mine. And it's not what I asked for. Sometimes life just slips in through a back door and carves out a person and makes you believe it's all true. And now I've got you, and you're not what I asked for. If I'm honest, I know I would give it all back for a chance to start over and rewrite an ending or two for the girl that I knew who was reckless just enough, who gets hurt, but who learns how to toughen up when she's bruised and gets used by a man who can't love. And then she'll get stuck and be scared of the life that's inside her, getting stronger each day till it finally reminds her to fight just a little and bring back the fire in her eyes. It's been gone, but she used to be mine. What?
Tina Turner.
I haven't listened to enough Tina Turner music.
Sarah Bareilles.
Mine, it used to be mine.
Sondheim?
She is messy, but she's kind. She is lonely most of the time. She's all of this mixed up and baked in a beautiful pie. She's gone, but she used to be mine.
Oui.
So soon I'm going to be starting at NYU, and I'm so excited because with college you get to choose your major, and my concentration will be psychology and musical composition. With grade school, you don't get to do that, which results in some, let's just say, not fun situations. I'm sure for our theater kids watching, you remember the totally fun activity of lining up in gym class to be chosen, right? Because I sure do. This is one of my favorite songs from a relatively unknown show called Whoop-Dee-Doo, called Last One Picked.
Clink a glass and wipe your eye for my bygone days at Springbrook High and the class I learned to dread, that ego buster they called Phys Ed. Basketball, baseball, football, stickball, volleyball, dodgeball, tetherball, kickball. Playing was hell, but worst of all was the ritual that came first of all. Last one picked, non-athletic. Last one picked, at sports I was pathetic. Other kids could tumble and run, but my coordination was totally six guys left, stomach sinking. Three guys left, my self-esteem was shrinking. Felt so ashamed I could have cried. Nobody wanted me on their side. How many notes did I forge to say, please excuse Joshua from gym today? He wrenched his back, his colon spastic. He's hypoglycemic and his kneecaps are plastic. I was the last one picked, rejected by the rabble. Last one picked, I could beat them all at Scrabble. My brains didn't do me a bit of good. The bottom of the barrel was where I stood. But time went by and I met you and learned a team could consist of two. The way I was A-okay. And who cares about kids' games anyway? I was the last one picked. The past is past now, last one picked. At last, I'm not the last now. I'm first draft choice on a winning team, like I always dreamed I'd be. Imagine my surprise when over every other guy you picked me.
It's time for our first guest, Holden Hagelberger. So, Holden, you recently starred in the off-Broadway production of Trevor the Musical, right?
Yeah.
So, how did you get started in theater?
I saw the School of Rock National Tour when it came to Houston. And so, seeing those kids on the stage, I was like, you know what? Maybe I want to audition for, like, you know, something like a community theater. So, go to a community theater. They're doing Madagascar Junior. It's a Madagascar musical version. And, you know, did the audition, went back home, and, like, the next day the cast list came out. And seeing my name, you know, under a lemur that had, at that point, one line, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I was just so happy, and that's when I knew. That's when I knew that this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you are amazing at it.
Thank you.
I saw the pro shot of Trevor on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You were so good in it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How did you get, like, involved with Trevor?
Yeah. So I got an audition from my agent. It was just Trevor the Musical, and it said it was an off-Broadway show in the title. So, you know, I did a Zoom meeting with the casting team, and then I had to sing and then do a couple sides. And originally, I was actually not going in for Trevor. I was actually going in for Walter. So I got called back into in-person New York City callbacks in person, and I was actually getting called back for Walter. And then, like, the second day, they switched me to Trevor. And for Trevor, I had to sing 3 songs. I had to do 4 sides from the show, and I had to dance as well. Oh. And, yeah, it was a lot, but it was really fun. And then got home, and around a week later, got the call from my agent saying that I booked it. Yeah.
That's amazing. And, like, how long did it take you to learn the music and rehearsals?
Surprisingly, it actually took me, like, 2 weeks. Yeah.
How long do you think, like, it took to put the whole show together?
To put the whole show together, it took a couple weeks, maybe a month. But, you know, to put together a show like that, it was a lot, but it was really, really fun.
What was your favorite moment in the show?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
If you had to choose.
If it was, yeah. I think I'm going to choose a dance number, and that would be 1-2, which is the cane number in the show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I love that song. I remember when I was doing the show back before COVID happened, which is, it still feels like forever ago, and yet
it was only just 2 years.
The other day.
Yeah, I know.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Dramatic look into the distance.
Oh,
that doesn't feel right. No, like COVID happened 2 years ago.
No, it feels like it was forever ago. Mm-hmm. But
it really does. But yeah. I remember the fun thing with that number, the canes, the hats, and the quick change.
Yeah, that was actually, it was weird. It's the hardest number in the show, and that's actually the song I would get nervous for in every single time I did the show. But it's the most fun to do. It's so weird.
And
do it all again. Yeah.
What was it like doing the dancing for that number? Was it just, like, the best?
It was the best. Because, you know, when you have those canes and you're flipping them without even looking at them, you get to see a little bit of the audience, and they're just like, oh, my gosh. So to just see their faces just, like, you know, light up with excitement, we're just so happy to know that we're doing our jobs right, and we are entertaining the audience, and we're shocking them. We're surprising them.
In rehearsal, because I know it took me a while to get this.
Oh, it did.
How many times did you accidentally drop the cane when tossing it in the air?
Dropping the cane happened a lot. Breaking the cane also happened a lot.
Oh, no.
I'll actually tell you a story about that. So, second preview, right? You know, we're doing the number as usual. You know, in the show, we're hitting the canes. And we're going 1-2 on the second hit. It breaks in half.
Oh, no.
And so instead of just, you know, dropping on the ground and just not moving, I grabbed 2 pieces of the cane because it broke in half, threw them behind the Mylar, and I kid you not, I screamed, "Keep going, man! Keep going!" So the audience obviously knew what was going on. They knew that this was not part of the show. So the audience just starts, you know, laughing, they start clapping, and then at the end of the number, we actually got a standing O.
That's amazing. Now, Trevor, you had to record everything for Disney Plus, right? Mm-hmm. Did that happen during the actual run of the show?
No. So we closed mm-hmm. in December, and so we had to film the show a month later, no rehearsals. We had 8 hours to film the show twice, once without an audience and once with an audience. So we had 8 hours to restage it, film it twice, go home. We only had 8 hours in that theater. We had no rehearsals before. And so when I saw it for the first time, I was like, okay, did we have rehearsals that I just didn't know about? Because it was like, you would think like we had rehearsed this show either while we were doing the show or like we had rehearsed it for like a month before we refilmed it again. But no, we relearned it in about 2 hours and filmed it twice.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That is really amazing because it looks like it was shot like during the actual production of the show.
It wasn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what was the cast recording like for you recording that?
So everyone else got to film it together except for me and my understudy because we both got COVID later than everyone else. So he would film by himself. We had to film basically without anyone else. So it was a recorded track of everyone else singing that they had recorded in the cast recording with everyone else, but I had to listen to it and I had to find out where to sing, where the beat is, where do I start, and we had to keep doing tons of retakes because, you know, when you're not singing with everyone else, you know, you can get lost at points. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. And for our audience members who've never recorded music ever, you were in the studio, mm-hmm. right? What was that like for you?
You know, I had always dreamed to be in a cast recording and to be in a studio because, you know, I see those like little like, you know, trailer videos of like Mean Girls cast, like in the mm-hmm. cast recording singing. And I'm like, I've always wanted to do that.
And now like and now, there are videos of you online doing that exact
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And now, you know, we get to hear our show through a cast recording. We also get to see our show on Disney Plus, which is so exciting. And yeah, I'm just really happy.
That is so cool. And for today's show, what do you want to sing?
If I had to choose a song, I would probably sing My Imagination.
Yep. My Imagination from Trevor?
Yes.
Cool. Here we go.
Is it my imagination? Like it sometimes always is. Was I hearing my own story when I heard him telling his? Like a signal out of nowhere, like a light I've never known, showing me I could be something more than alone. Is it my imagination making daydreams out of dust? Are the feelings I'm feeling something I can really trust? Like a world that finally opened from a whisper to a scream, telling me this could be something more than a dream. What if someday isn't someday? What if it's right now? What if who I hid is who I get to be somehow? What if weird is only different? What if different isn't wrong? What if normal isn't how I have to play along? Play along. Is it my imagination like it always was before? Will I hold on to this feeling when I walk out of that door? Is it too much to believe now that it isn't only me? Is it my imagination? Is it my imagination? Or could it be?
Time for our second guest today, Taylor Paige Henderson. Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to have you on the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
So I know that you've been working quite a lot recently as you're now in Hocus Pocus 2,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Ooh, are you allowed to share anything about the film?
Well, I can share very little, but what I can, I'd love to share.
Yay. Are you allowed to say who you play?
I can't. I'm so scared. I don't know. Should I or should I not?
It's okay.
Okay. So I'm not allowed to say, but I will say that she is such an iconic character, and I'm so, so excited for people to meet her because I think people are going to love her.
Yay.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to watch the original movie to prepare for your role?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So leading up to my auditions and callbacks, I watched it twice every day, so something like 15 times, and then during filming I watched it every day.
Oh,
me
wow.
and the girls watched it every single day.
Did it sort of influence how you portrayed your character?
Oh yes, because the character I play, she has specific mannerisms that I had to master very quickly so that I could execute the character correctly and well. So watching it was very, like, it was part of my routine. I would wake up, I would watch the movie, go to set, come home, go to sleep, wake up, watch the movie, go to set. Like, so it was just, it was the same every day, but it was always, I would, every time I watched it, I would find something new with her to make, like, new depths of the character that, and, like, new, just shades of her that, like, maybe you haven't seen before, so I'm really excited for people to discover those.
Yay, and on top of that, you were also in a Studio Ghibli movie, right?
Yes, yeah.
That is so cool, and for those of you who don't know, Studio Ghibli is an animation powerhouse. They make classics from the award-winning Spirited Away to their newest film, which you're in, Earwig and the Witch,
yes.
Right? So who do you play in it?
So I play Earwig. She's an orphan, and she gets adopted by this witch. And this witch, like, teaches her magic, and in the end, it ends up a big, happy family. And she knows how to make potions and spells, and it's super cute.
What was being in the animated film like for you?
It was crazy. It was my very first voiceover job ever. I recorded that back in 2020, and I was so excited. It was so different. So being on set this past year has, like, I've really seen, like, how different film and theater and voiceover are from each other. Like, voiceover, you're just alone in a room all day long. And so it's really hard to stay focused and, like, you have to have lots of, like, physical acting to go along with just your voice. So it's, like, I think that's the most exhausting of the three, but it was super fun.
And was the animation finished before you recorded, or was it?
So I did the English dubbing. So it was already animated in a different language. So I just did, it was just my voice in English over top of it. So it was already animated. So I got to watch it as I recorded it, which was so cool.
And when you were recording it, did you have to match up what you were saying to the mouth movements of the character?
Yeah, I did have to do that. And that was super difficult. It took a long time. I recently had to do that again with a little thing I got to do with Hocus Pocus just this past Wednesday, I think. So I got to do that again, and it was super easy because I already knew how to do it because I had done Earwig. So, yeah, it was really difficult, and it took a long time, but it was awesome.
And what was it like to watch yourself in the film? Because I know that must have been an amazing experience for you.
It was really cool. It was only my voice, and so it was so weird to just, like, hear my voice, and I also had an accent, too. So it was really different because, like, for Hocus Pocus, I get to see my face, which is going to be so weird. But just hearing my voice, I was like, that's weird how you said that. But yeah, it was so cool.
And finally, what song would you like to sing with me today and why?
I'm going to sing Manhattan Bridge from Next Thing You Know. And I really, really like this song because it's about a girl describing the first time she came to New York City. And I can definitely relate to this song because I very vividly remember the first time I came to the city. I accidentally stepped on the subway by myself when I was 10, which doesn't really have anything to do with it, but it kind of relates, and I think it's so funny. But anyway, I love this song because it just has great storytelling, and I love the lyrics. It's great.
Cool. Here we go.
I can still remember that cool day in September, my first trip on the subway across the Manhattan Bridge. I looked outside and could not believe my eyes, and I looked around, and much to my surprise, no one else was looking at the bridge, the statue, the sky. No one else was looking, and I could not imagine why. Sat and stared and blinking, then got around to thinking that these people just don't recognize the view they miss each day. So I took it in, then I took it in again. It made me smile. I made a promise then that the day that I stopped looking at the way it all seemed to glow, the day that I stopped looking was the day that I should go. So every day from that day on, I took the time to stop and look. I'd wake myself up from a nap or take a short break from my book. But today on the subway, after fighting for my seat, I started reading at DeKalb and didn't look up till Canal Street. I blinked to clear my vision, thought back on my decision to up and leave the city. The day I missed the view, it's harder now than I thought it would have been. Did the city break me down or simply break me in? Today's when I stopped looking at this place like it was all new. Today's the day that I stopped looking. So now, what do I do? Do I stay or do I leave and change up the view?
Thank you all so, so much for coming here today to watch us perform here at the Broadway Makers Marketplace. A huge thank you to the Broadway Makers Marketplace for allowing us to be here as well. Make sure to follow them on all major social media platforms at Broadway Makers Marketplace. If you want to listen to the rest of our episodes, you can stream them now on theearlynightshow.com. You can follow me at Joshua Turchin on all major social media platforms as well. Thank you so much for watching, and remember, you're all amazing, loved, and valid, and I can't wait to see you all next time. Bye!
I have often dreamed of a far-off place where a hero's welcome would be waiting for me, where the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, "This is where I'm meant to be."
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.